VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, all you have to do is hear today's news to realize that we are living in perilous times. I mean, these are times that the Apostle Paul had warned young Pastor Timothy concerning. He warned about men being lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He said evil men and seducers should wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I mean, doesn't this sound like a commentary on 2022? Today is the National Day of Prayer, and many wonder, what happened to God's blessing on this land? Will it ever return? Is there a way to go back to what we once were? Where does the solution lie? Well, friends, we're going to explore this issue here today. It's our privilege to have back on Crosstalk Sam Rohr, who is the president of the American Pastors Network, a former member of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, where he was chair on the House Finance Committee. He's the speaker on Stand in the Gap Radio, Stand in the Gap Television. Sam, our pleasure to have you back here on Crosstalk.
Jim, it's a pleasure to be with you, and what a day. What a day, yeah. The National Day of Prayer, to talk about where we are as a nation in relationship to the God of heaven. Mm-hmm. And what you said up there, I couldn't agree more. They are indeed perilous days, and if there was ever a day that we looked into what God says in His Word, you described it, and from that, though, what do we make of it? And hopefully in the program today we can get a perspective of what God is thinking about America.
Indeed. And Sam, I can only imagine even the founders of our nation, if they were walking on this soil today, they would be filled with heartache and grief to see what happened to the nation that they fought for and many gave their lives.
Well, they would, because on every hand, from the signers of the Declaration who said we are endowed by our Creator, to now a time that we don't even believe in a Creator, and we move to a time that we can inject people with whatever, and we think we can control them and call them transhumanists. We'll infuse, as these guys are saying, we'll make humankind better because we're going to inject within them human technology, to the concept of rights. Well, our founder said rights come from God, and they do, but most today think that rights come from government and they can take them at will. So, no, the worldview has shifted, and I think that's the heart of the matter, the worldview, how we perceive who God is, if God is what the founders would find so remarkable.
And I guess even more important to contemplate what the founders would think, it's what does God think, Sam? And I know you'd agree with that as well, because when we see the direction that we have decided as a nation, Sam, his heart must be very grieved.
Well, see, of course, that goes to the heart of it, because our founders, it's appropriate to bring them up, because they espoused a world view when this nation was established. And God said, He raises up nations, He puts them down. And I cannot help in thinking about this discussion as we talk about blessings. You've kind of mentioned that. But nations who are blessed, nations who face judgment, nations who once were but no longer exist. I have to go back, as our founders did, to the nation of Israel. And I revisit the Old Testament, which God put together for our learning and our admonition. And our founder said, as God so worked with Israel, that's the pattern for nations around the world. They said, we want to be blessed of God. And I think, so it is, we go back and say, what does God say? What does God say are the requirements for a blessed nation? What does God say will be the determination of when His blessings turn to judgment? And there are specific passages of Scripture that talk very, very clear to that. So, yeah, getting back in relationship to what God says is exactly what on this day of prayer. If we don't do that, we surely have missed it.
Sam Rohr with us here today, president of American Pastors Network. Sam, as we look at the history here in the United States, where did we go off course as a nation? I mean, we look at as to what the founders had envisioned for this nation. We see the signers of the Declaration and those who pledged their very lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. Where did we go off course?
Well, I think we got off course, Jim, when we began to experience what God said would happen to every nation that trusted him, and that is God's blessing. I go immediately to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we can look more into that if you want to.
Sure,
Deuteronomy 28, God says very clearly, okay, nation, Israel, I brought you out of bondage. I brought you to a new land. And if you fear me and keep my commandments, then I'm going to pour out so many blessings you can't handle it. And then he enumerates all of those blessings: children, health, security from the enemies, respect in the eyes of the nations of the world, lender nation, not debtor nation. So I'm going to give you all those things. But if and when you turn your back on me and believe that for a moment that the things that I gave you, those blessings, often in material things, but much more than that. But when you think that those blessings, Deuteronomy 6 talks about this, that you believe that they came from your own hands, now I will turn my blessings into judgment. And that passage, Deuteronomy 28, is unbelievable because there are twice as many judgments and cursings as there are blessings. And that's what God says in the end of the book, Deuteronomy 30. I put before you this day life and good, death and evil. Choose life and good. Choose life.
Mm-hmm.
That is where when we began to say that the blessings that we got from God, we no longer were grateful to God, but believed that it came from our own hands. That's when things started to go bad. That's when things went bad for Israel, because at that point, here's the problem. Once we believe that what we have came from our own strength, our own prowess, our own intellect, we've automatically taken the first commandment. We've taken God off the throne. We've put man on the throne. We're no longer worshiping God. We're worshiping idols. And when idolatry becomes the religion of a nation, God's judgment steps in. That's about as simple as I can be. We have not trusted in God for a long time as manifested. The fact that we are not grateful to him as the source of our blessing, we really believe we've done it ourselves, and that God does not stand by and look at idly.
You know, and we see this repeated throughout Scripture, as you read those verses there, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when God tells us, to love the Lord our God, or he commanded us in the Shema, with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And it goes on and says that it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth. And it goes on there. And Sam, that's something God repeatedly told the children of Israel at that time. Watch out. Don't forget who I am, what I have done for you.
Well, see, that's exactly correct. And it's kind of interesting. But again, that is a worldview. It's a biblical worldview said it starts with God.
Yes.
God created. And then we go from there. Sin came into the world and all of that. And then, but God sent a redeemer. And then God has a plan for the nations. God has a plan for society. God has a plan for the family. God has a plan for the individual. That's a biblical worldview, which then says, as Ecclesiastes 12, let's hear the conclusion
right
of the whole matter of life. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. That's what all of that is about. We either start with God and then follow down his path, which then is choosing life, will result in blessings, or we say, no, we don't need God. There is another alternative. And then God says, fine, if you do that, then you are choosing death, idolatry, and those that go with it. So that is a biblical worldview, and it's a choice. If choices have consequences, it's that simple. God presents the choices for us that result in life. That's what he said, choose life. It's not my desire that any man perish, but all come to the understanding of who God is. And so the choice was there from the Garden of Eden. It is there for all of those who followed. It was there for Abraham. It was followed there for Moses, for the children of Israel, for every nation that's ever raised and up and went down, and it's there for everyone listening right now in America or in Ukraine or in Russia or in China. It doesn't change. It's the same thing. What are you going to do with what God says?
You know, and this matter of choosing life, we don't have to travel very far down the path of history. Let's just look what happened Monday of this week. I mean, bringing us up to this point, the infamous Roe v. Wade decision, now over 63.7 million babies have been killed or murdered in the womb, but in a very clandestine way. This past Monday evening, we saw this leak of this first draft of a Supreme Court decision setting the basis for overturning Roe. And, Sam, just look at the mayhem taking place around the nation. I mean, putting the very lives of the justices at risk with their very houses being targeted now, all because they're saying that there's not a constitutional right to kill your baby in our Constitution. I mean, the mayhem breaking out is a tragic indicator of where we are as a society today.
Well, it's another one of those indications, and I think if we go ultimately, if you want to, the passage in Deuteronomy 28, it actually speaks to that, where you actually have lawlessness raise up from within the community. Other passages of Scripture, the Lord says, a mark of my judgment is that when you reject me, and you ultimately have people in office who are corrupted, and ultimately they will proclaim to be good that which is evil. Romans 1 talks about at a point where you reject a nation, a people, reject who God is and what he says. Ultimately, they're not satisfied with just walking away from God themselves. They must do everything they can to force everybody else to participate in their sin. This is what we're seeing. When the sword of government, Romans 13, swings from enacting justice defined by God, praising those and protecting those who do well, and punishing those who do evil according as God defines, and it begins to swing away from God, it will then use the sword of government to praise those who do wickedly and punish those who do good. That is a mark of judgment, and that is what we have to bear in mind as an indication of where we are. And that tells me also what God thinks about what's happening. God will vomit out any nation, any people who spurn him. And I think, Jim, here's another perspective that comes up to me. If that is this, to whom much is given, much is required. That principle applies to this. A nation who once knows and embraced the God of heaven, who then walks away and defies the God of heaven, actually has, God has less patience with that nation than a nation that was just plain ungodly. We have no excuse. The very stones, the very engravings in our government buildings witness against the very actions that we are seeing purported and promoted by government. That is when God steps in and says, I've had enough. I can't put up with it. My justice will not permit me to be silent anymore. That's what makes, I think, today so serious.
Sam Rohr is our guest here today on Crosstalk. He's president of the American Pastors Network. And, friends, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to delve a little bit further into this topic here. And, matter of fact, Our guest today has put forth a very compelling website with a video that you really need to stop and watch, and we'll be talking more about that here in just a moment. And also the path back. Is there a pathway to go back to what God had intended for us? We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, evolutionists say that because our blood is similar to seawater, this proves the evolution of life in the ocean. Is this true?
Chris, it is true that evolution says that life evolved in the sea, but human blood is very different from seawater. Now, many of the same elements are in both, but the concentrations and compounds are very, very different. God used the building blocks he had created on day one to form all things. Human blood has unbearably complex molecules locked into complex combinations that are very different from anything ever found in seawater. In fact, seawater would break down the compounds that we have in our blood. Chris, we can be confident that man did not come from the sea. Man was created by the Creator, who also created the sea. We read all about it when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Sam Rohr from American Pastors Network. And we've talking about this being National Day of Prayer, certainly a call to prayer, a call to repentance, a call to revival here across our land. Sam, we know we're in a pretty grave condition. And what you're saying is that it's not that we're waiting for God's judgment here on the nation. It's already upon us. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying I am saying that absolutely clearly. And I'm going to go further and say, Jim, that it's not that we have just walked into judgment in 2022
mm-hmm.
or 2021. We have been seeing the evidence of God's judgment from the day we took God out of school and declared the killing of babies to be a legitimate thing. We have, for a generation, been moving bit by bit away from God. And you could say that, well, you know, moving bit by bit away from God will, in fact, bring judgment. Well, that is also true. But at the same time, moving away from God in those evidences where we began to have institutions of government declare what God says to be true to be false and to change what God says to be moral to be immoral, those are also marks of judgment. They are evidences of a nation that has already begun to walk. And I think you have to go almost all the way back probably to the generation that comes out of the out of World War II. Perhaps even going back to that where the mind began to shift to the power of these United States and the blessings that we had, and we were just better than everybody, and God did bless, and in fact, there was much to be thankful for. But I think it wasn't the fact that we had a lot to be thankful for. I think we increasingly became not thankful
mm-hmm.
and began to shift. The church began to go liberal. The preaching of the truth began to be lessened. Political office tended to become corrupted. And so when you see bribery and corruption in office, as an example, it's a mark of God's judgment on a nation. It's also a mark of walking away from God. But they tend to walk together. But God says, Jim, and this is the thing I think that's interesting. Many times, even on this day of prayer now, there will be many people, no doubt today, who will say, well, Second Chronicles 7:14 is a solution. I know you want to go to solution, but I bring it up at this point because it ties into this. They say, well, that's the solution. And I've said for a long time, well, that is a solution, but we got a problem. Because to many people, that solution is like a white rabbit's foot. It's something you pull out of your back pocket when things get really bad because you think, oh, well, if I all of a sudden confess my sins and get right, then God's going to turn things around. Well, God never turned it around for Israel at that point. People often forget about that. Israel never responded. But the thing that I look at is that in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 13 is a key passage. Because in 13, God is answering the prayer of Solomon. 7:14 is a part of the answer of God to Solomon's prayer offered in the previous chapter, in 6, and he's answering that. And God says in 7:13, when you see, when I withhold rain, and I send pestilence. In other words, God says, when I begin to speak in ways that only God speaks, and then you see these things happen. And then is what the implication of that passage is. When you see these things, then if you see these things and understand that I am withholding the rain, an evidence of blessing on a nation, and I do these things, then when you see that I'm speaking to you and trying to get your attention, then if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. See, the problem with Israel was they never were understanding what God said. And I've said so many times here, God's been speaking. God's been shouting to our nation for a long time. But if we don't understand that God speaks in such ways, how are we ever going to understand what he says? I think we've been deaf. I think we've been blind to the way God says he would speak. And we go to a verse and we pick it out and we solace ourselves, but we neglect the part where God says, I'm trying to speak to you. And we don't even give a credence to the fact that It's God speaking to us in these various ways. He said he would. That's where I think it is. I think we've been blind for a long time, Jim. And so God is not just about to begin judgment. I think we're on the precipice, according to how I read Scripture, we're on the very precipice of final judgment.
Well, Sam, it seems in history that God has given us, and you were alluding to this, many opportunities to return to him, but we just shun him over and over again. You've got a very compelling video on your site, letterfromgod.org. Tell us about it.
It was a couple of years ago that God laid in my heart. I was thinking as we're going through out of 2020, when 2020 began to, things began to shut down in this country, and I'm thinking, what's the church doing? How is the Church of America responding to these unbelievable, constitutionally challenging efforts by government to tell people you can't work, which is a command of God, or you can't go to school, which is a command to parents for their children, or you can't all these things. I think, wait a minute, where's the church in all this? And I'm thinking, wow, nobody's actually saying that. Where is God's hand in this? People were not running to the Scripture. Churches were not going to say, now, what does the Bible say about how we should respond to this? Mm-hmm. They didn't at all. And out of that came, I'm thinking, what is God thinking about America? And if God were to make a statement in the analysis of Scripture to America, what would he say? And that actually came out of that, what we now have in that short of that 22, 23-minute video, a letter to America from God, just using the history of our country, how God started us and how it was dedicated to him, and he poured out his blessing, and our founders referred to him, and all that way through, and God poured out blessing upon blessing, and challenge came, and World War I came, and World War II came, and 9/11 came, and shocking things happened. And what did we do? And what did the church do? And where was the church now? That's in effect. If God were looking at America today, based on all that we've had, what would he say to America? And that's really the essence of that video. Tried to put it in a graphic form, historically, biblically accurate, because I think, I don't know how else I can read Scripture, and I cannot connect the dots to what's happening and say, what the passage you read in Deuteronomy, what I refer to in Deuteronomy 28, you cannot read those passages without saying, it's us. It's us.
Friends, that website is letterfromgod.org, letterfromgod.org, and I encourage you to go to that site and watch that video. And, Sam, one of the compelling phrases that was repeated often in this letter from God are these words, you forgot me, you forgot me. And that is an important concept for us to realize.
Well, it is, because, you see, that was the part that you read from Deuteronomy and I referred to earlier, when I pour out my blessings upon you, and you forget me, you forget God. At that juncture, worship changes from the God of heaven to the God of man.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have men who get in government positions of authority, men or women, who have thought and walked in way of forgotten God, then government becomes the embodiment of God, and those in government begin to think that government is God and seek to initiate policies and create policies that create fear, which don't drive people to the God of heaven, but drive them to the devilish, satanic God of government. It's all about worship. God created us to worship him. That's why he started out, I am God and God alone. And then he said, no other idols before me. That is where our heart goes wrong. We're made to worship. The devil seeks to detract our worship. It started in the garden. It happens now. And it's what happens, and it's somewhat more of a difficult time almost for a nation to live in blessing.
Mm-hmm.
because we begin to think easily, the devil puts a thought in our mind and said, boy, you're smart. Boy, you're good. Educational institutions say, oh, it's because we're so smart, we taught everybody how to think real smart, and we forget, we rule out God. That is the forgetting God, and God says, you cannot forget me and allow my blessings to continue. They will not continue, and that then is when it shifts from blessing to judgment, and God is a just God. He doesn't change, and if God dealt with Israel the way he did, why in the world do we think that he's going to deal any differently with the United States?
Yeah. As we talk about the mess that we are in as a nation right now, Sam, is there a path of return? Can there be a national renewal? Can there be a national revival take place? Some have looked for that third great awakening. I mean, is it possible for there a return to take place? Is there a path that would take us that direction?
Well, you know what? Is it possible? Yes, because with God, all things are possible. But on the other hand, those verses you read at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
Indicating that in those end days, departures from the faith and heresies and so forth. I go to Matthew 24, which talks about a lead up to the tribulation period. And God says the first thing to his disciples you're going to see is deception. And he says you're going to see wars, rumors of wars and pestilence and the heresies, the same thing. It's the convergence of all of those things together that makes the end times so significant. And Jesus said in that context, very clearly in verse 6 of Matthew 24, he said, I'm telling you these things, but don't be troubled. So the key is, as believers, we look at the whole counsel of God. We look at what God has done through nations. We look at what God says about his return. We look at all of these evidences, and I look at all these evidences, Jim, and I see, I think, literally every evidence of biblical prophecy, which comprises 30% of the Scripture, literally every one of them is on the table. Every one, the nation's alignment, the ability to control the world and the one world currency and government,
yes, yes.
And all of these things, they're all on the table. But the purpose here is to say, well, you know, what if God does not give us a revival in this nation? Well, at some point we know it's not going to happen. But we do know that Jesus said, look, don't be troubled. Why? Because these things must come to pass. God's plan of redemption, we have to remember that God's plan of redemption is what is the most important thing, because it points to the glory of God, to Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. So wherever we are, our purpose as believers must always be the same. We pursue the truth. We embrace the truth. We stand in the gap for truth. We resist evil where we see it, but we are not controlled by the spirit of fear. We are not troubled by that which is going to happen, because Jesus said, don't be troubled. These things must happen. Come to pass. But when you see these things, be excited, because my return is near. We as believers, our goal is not the revival of, it's not the, making America number one again. I mean, I would like that. And can God do it? Absolutely. Would I pray for that? Yes. But what I pray for most is that in the midst of what is taking place, that I see the hand of God, that I am not troubled in my spirit, that I'm more active than ever in the proclaiming of the gospel of the truth. And if I do it and other believers do it, that actually then becomes the seed of what could be revival. And then who knows what God will do? He can change the time. He runs the clock.
Amen. Sam Rohr with us here today on Crosstalk. We're going to have a little more discussion before we go to phone lines here today. And by the way, again, you can see that compelling video, letterfromgod.org. And our guest website, AmericanPastors.net. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed his blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829.
Thank you.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America here on this National Day of Prayer. A call to prayer, a call to repentance, a call to revival here across this land. Sam Rohr with us from American Pastors Network. And Sam, for those who have never heard of American Pastors Network before, give us a word about it.
Well, Jim, the American Pastors Network started about 9 years ago for the purpose of reemphasizing the importance of communicating truth from the pulpits of America. And I, as a minister of God, that was how God called me into public office first. I understood the purpose of those in government is to model God's plan in government. But the purpose of the pulpit is to communicate the whole counsel of God, to preach, to teach that those principles that God lays out. So we said, if there's a greater need in America than anything, it's a revitalized pulpit. It's the preaching and the communicating of biblical truth, what God says, a biblical worldview. And then from that came our TV and radio to demonstrate what it's like for pastors to be able to communicate the truth and what we think should be done biblically through the pulpit. So in essence, that's what it's about. We want to encourage pastors to be bold, stand on the truth, communicate the truth as God would have them, and then for people in the pews to actually hear it, respond, search for it themselves, as they say, seek the truth, embrace the truth, and then stand in the gap for truth.
And AmericanPastors.net, the website AmericanPastors.net to learn more information about American Pastors Network. Sam, let's before we open phone lines here, some important principles that are good for us to hear. Tell us the source of these principles.
Well, I'm going to give 10 principles that actually come off the pages of Scripture, but they were officially entered into the congressional record. A Congressman Charles Halleck, Indiana, February 25th, 1956, gave a speech about democracies, as he called it, and their history. And he said, you know, they follow a pattern from bondage to freedom and back to bondage again. We actually talked about it on our radio program today, and I think, let me just share it with the idea of the folks listening. Just think about this in terms of the history of Israel, but think of it now in application to us as the United States. I wonder where you would say which step we are in. Here's number one. From bondage to spiritual faith. That would be Israel coming out of Egypt, okay, just to get us going. Or us leaving the British Empire and coming into whatever. Okay, here it is. So, number one, bondage to spiritual faith. Two, from spiritual faith to courage. Three, from courage to freedom. Four, from freedom to some measure of physical abundance. Five, from abundance to selfishness. Six, from selfishness to complacency. Seven, from complacency to apathy. Eight, from apathy to fear. Number nine, from fear to dependency. And number 10, from dependency back again into bondage.
Wow. That really gives that cycle, does it not?
It really does, because, you know, civilizations of the world have followed the same pattern because people are people. God's plan for civilizations has always been the same thing. Follow me and I'll bless you, as it was laid out to Israel. And every time when man thinks he's got a better idea, you begin to slip down into selfishness after you've experienced prosperity, and then you get into apathy and complacency and, oh, well, things will never change. And then you begin to realize that the stuff you trust in disappears overnight, perhaps, and then you get a little fearful. And then you get some governmental policies come into place that create even more fear, and the result is, and they don't drive you to the God of heaven. They drive you to government that says yes, and that moves you from fear to bondage. See, that's exactly where we are. But it's been that way in every civilization. That was the history of Israel. So I'd say, where are we? Well, my own opinion, we're very, very close to number 10.
Yeah.
We're very close, dependency back again to bondage. We're actually in the process of entering into bondage in the last couple of years alone. We've given up much freedom in exchange for what? Well, why did we do that? Apathetic complacency, a church and a pulpit that's been quiet. All of those things all culminate together, but how can one not look at these things and say, what does God think about America? So that's where we are, I think.
Friends, our telephone number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. And as you hear that cycle there, from bondage to spiritual faith, then to courage, then to freedom, then some measure of physical abundance, then to we have the abundance, and then we go to selfishness and complacency, apathy, fear, dependency, and back to bondage again. And many of you can look at even what we've gone through here in recent years to see us go right down this path here once again as a nation. And this read into the congressional record February 25. You said that was the year 1956?
That's correct.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And we see that every before us here, friends. And, I mean, just look at what we've been through with COVID. I mean, everything man holds dear, even idolized, taken away. Businesses shut down. Sports shut down. The entertainment industry was shut down. Churches even were shut down. Soaring inflation, greater government control. And even this, Sam, has not gotten our full attention, as we're seeing a government that's even more anti-God than ever before.
I know. And see, that's the thing that as I look at it, Jim, I say, wow, what is going to be our result? Can we return to God? The answer is yes, but every day that goes by and there's not a return to God makes the likelihood that we return to God less likely.
Yeah. Well, our lines are packed already here. We're going to begin in Dallas, Texas. John, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Well, yeah, hi. I wanted to ask Sam, because, well, first of all, you're great. I love your ministry. It's been great over the years. And your reference, I've heard it from you a couple, three times, on the counsel of God. Because I've got some Christian friends who have brought up Scripture talking about the counsel of God. Can you clarify that a little bit?
Well, yeah, in a succinct way. The reference is to preach the whole counsel of God. Now, what is the whole counsel of God? I would just say, generally, the whole counsel of God is all of the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
Knowing that the Old Testament was given to us for our learning and admonition. There are many in the pulpit to say, well, the Old Testament's for the old days, the New Testament for the new days. No, the Old Testament is absolutely for today. It goes together because it shows us the continuum of God's plan of redemption, how he worked from the garden, he worked through Adam, and he worked through, I mean, Abraham and Israel, and now the church age. He's put Israel aside for a little bit. Now we're in the church age. He brings it to the, I mean, all of those things, the whole counsel of God. And the other is this, is that when we preach the Word of God, we cannot decide what is going to be acceptable to our hearers, or those in the pew,
mm-hmm.
or what's not. If we say, well, you know, that portion of Scripture, that part that talks about marriage, that part that talks about male and female, I'll get people upset if I talk about that. Well, then we are heresy from the pulpit. If we say that we can pick and choose what's acceptable, well, then now we've made ourselves God. And I think there are many in the pulpits of America who think their God, has evidenced by the fact that they do not preach the portions of Scripture that are not popular today.
Yeah. Thank you, John, for the call. And that's another whole program in itself, but I trust that answers the question there. Jim is next in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, gentlemen. You know, we're celebrating today the National Day of Prayer, and it's something that's been set up. And this is something that's been in my heart for several years now. We're setting a precedent for our young people nowadays, and the month of June rolls around, and I just cringe for that. And I hope you guys would know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it's been in my heart. Why don't we start a American Christian Heritage Month for the month of June and start teaching American people our Christian heritage? And there's so much information out there that could be, you know, Bill Federer's got so much information that we could be sharing the whole month of June and change the narrative for that month.
Hmm. Thank you, Jim, for the thought there. In some aspects now, I mean, we have a different states have Christian Heritage Days that take place usually around September, October-ish. But those who despise God have removed it from a day and taken for a full month and many months out of the year.
Well, they have. We're actually, Jim, as a part of our emphasis this year of return to God, which is really no way to return to God. We're trying to encourage churches and others around the country to take this July 3rd. We call it Independence Day. It's the day that we declared independence from England. That's great. Mm-hmm. It is important. But, and to say, let's take and make the emphasis this year, liberty. Liberty Sunday, but with the emphasis that is not just the liberty, sometimes we confuse with freedom, but liberty that sets the captive free, spiritual freedom, spiritual liberty. If we are free in Christ, we are free indeed. Liberty, we sometimes think it's the same as freedom. It's not. It's not. It's not the same as freedom. Liberty is when we've been set free from the bondage of sin and then can experience with relationship, fearing of God, and keeping His commandments, then we can experience freedom. We have freedom in this country because there were those before who were understood what liberty was all about. So we're saying, let's take these natural times when they occur, just like the caller just said. We can take natural days that are, and but put, view them in light of the way that they were established and view them biblically. Great time. All of these, we take every opportunity to reflect back.
Thank you, Jim, for the call. We've got Riley next in Dallas, Texas. You're on the air, Riley.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I think it's important to understand what you were saying earlier, saying that, you know, all the things going on in this world, these things must happen,
mm-hmm.
and that nothing that's happening is catching God off guard. You know, nothing
right.
is surprising Him.
Right.
And then He's already looked down the stream of time and knows everything that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what we should focus on is saving as many souls as possible.
Amen.
Proclaiming the gospel mm-hmm. and sharing, you know, the teachings of Christ to as many people as we can, initiating spiritual conversation in every conversation possible. We can talk about a whole bunch of other things. We need to be talking about what can save souls and to not grow weary in doing good, but, you know, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Thank you, Riley, for the call. And, Sam, indeed, I know you concur with what the caller is saying. We are called to be light. We are also called to be salt.
Amen. And that's the thing. And I would think, Riley, thank you for your comment, and I'm glad you brought that up. Because as soon as anybody talks like what I just talked about, it's like, oh well, you're a defeatist. No. What I said was a defeatist, then so was Jesus. But we know exactly that He was not a defeatist. He was more than victorious. He rose from the grave. The plan is not about us. The issue is not about us. It's about Him. We're not here for our purposes. If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're here for His purposes. That means we point to Him. As ambassadors of Christ, we point to Him, the light and the way. As salt, we don't just hold it under a bushel, we don't hide it. We actually, which means we've got to contact the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the results are never up to us. That's why we are to occupy till He come. We don't
mm-hmm.
give up being involved in trying to get good people elected to our office. We don't give up and sit back. No. We actually are more engaged as we see His day approaching.
Thank you for the call. And, yeah, we're up against a break, so stay with us. Paul, you stay with us. You'll be coming on next. And Maxine and Scott and others calling in here to Crosstalk today. Sam Rohr is our guest. And AmericanPastors.net. And also LetterFromGod.org, a great site to visit as well. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On my radio show the other day, I played the audio clip of a news report from Channel 2 in Atlanta, Georgia. It was a news report from 2010. And I stress, it was from 2010. And what were they reporting on? The individuals tied to terrorist organizations and terror states coming over the border of the United States, coming from countries like Yemen, Iraq, Sudan, Pakistan. My friends, there are overwhelming reports of Iranian terrorists and Hezbollah individuals coming to America. One way through Venezuela. Venezuela is in a massive alliance with China and Russia. My friends, the terror cells are here. Thousands of terror cells are here in the United States. What I'm telling you is not to scare you, but to warn you, the enemies, foreign and domestic, that are here.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and we thank you for joining us today. Sam Rohrer is our guest, and we're going right back to the phone lines. Holding the longest is Paul in Bussey, Iowa. Paul, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Go ahead, Paul.
I would like to recommend a book. It's titled Christian Conviction versus State Persecution. It's about the Christian school battle that took place in Nebraska 40 years ago. Mm. They ran all of the Amish out of the state. They took the Mennonites, Baptists, Pentecostals, and several other denominations for Christian schools to court. And it was also a time that homeschooling was getting started. And the book itself is about developing a conviction, what happened when people stood for their convictions, and how they had to suffer for their convictions.
Well, thank you, Paul. Thank you for reading
it. I would recommend the book.
Okay. Thank you so very much. This topic of conviction, Sam, you know, we become more limp-back than anything in our culture today and many churches today as well, but to take a stand for that which we truly believe. And if we adhere to the Scripture where God said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, are we willing to stand upon that truth?
Yeah, boy, there's another program we could go on there. George Barnett did recent surveys. We know about the millennial and younger generation when it comes to truth. Is that, well, it's okay to believe something for yourself, but you can't expect anybody else to do it as well, and don't promote it. Well, frankly, if truth is truth, which is what the gospel is, I can't keep my mouth shut. And if we really believe what we believe to be the truth, that is the essence of being salt and light. Not because we just want to argue with people, but because we want them to bring them to the light of the gospel, which is eternal in nature. It changes their heart. We love them. That's why we communicate the truth. But if we don't believe the truth, I guess we won't communicate it. And that's a good checkup to begin with right there with.
We have Maxine calling from Conneaut, Ohio. Hi, Maxine.
Hi. I have two things. One, my son calls it media mind control. And I think that's what this country is getting fed.
Yeah.
We're fed by the media.
Yeah.
And another thing, I graduated in 1950 from high school, Newcastle, Pennsylvania, and we had a little teacher, she was very little, called Miss Dinsmore, and she said the greatest threat to democracy is the apathy of the individual.
Thank you for sharing that with us here today. Oh, media mind control and apathy. Wow, both of those are so important, Sam, for discussion as well.
Well, they really are. Of course, when she says that, I said, you know, Matthew 24, Jesus said the greatest mark of those days before he comes back is deception. And how does deception work? Is when you ignore the truth. When you ignore the truth, who is God? Ignore God. You will ignore the truth. You then are left with only one thing. And that's deception. And Jesus said, don't be deceived, which means the only way to have an antidote to deception is to know the truth.
Yeah. Clarksburg, West Virginia. Scott, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just picked up whenever you guys were talking about the cycles from courage to dependence to slavery. But I thought you'd be interested in from the young earth theory where, the earth's been around for around 6,000 years. But I found out the other day that, there's a tradition from AD 200 that states that the world is to endure 6,000 years. 2,000 before the law, 2,000 under the law, and 2,000 under Messiah.
Well, yeah, thank you, Scott, for that. And, of course, we've spent other programs dealing just with creation, the age of the earth, and so forth. But should also just behoove us that days are numbered, and the Lord knows what those days are. We don't know the time of the Lord's return, but we do know we are to be faithful. As Sam said, to occupy till he comes. We are to be salt. We are to be light. And if we have the hope in us, what are we to do? We're to purify ourselves even as he is pure. And thank you for that. Tony in Charleston, Illinois, you're on the air.
Hey, brothers, you are 100% right on the button there. Matthew 24 is exactly where we're at right now. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say we're at 9 and 3 quarters. I can remember when 9/11 happened. That following Sunday when I went to church, the house was full, but the supposed-to-be minister, he might as well have been preaching Mary Had a Little Lamb, because he left everybody with the same look on their face as what they had before. We're in those deceptive times. The devil is working hard because he truly does know that his time is limited.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Continue with what you're doing, y'all. And I've said it once and I'll say it again. Look up, pray up, pack up, get ready to go up. He's coming again. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thanks
Tony.
For your call and thanks for taking it. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Sam, you know, he brings up this point of 9/11, and even in that video that's on the site, you know, God said, I sent a wake-up call on 9/11. And we did have packed churches for a time, but, you know, what happened? We, again, came to the point of forgetting God.
And that is the thing that we have to remind, Jim. That's exactly correct. God has been warning us. We should be able to recall the times and how. That's part of preaching from the Word, to understand that when you have fires raging in the country, you have lawlessness in the streets, and you have those in office like we have now that are literally, like Isaiah talks about, boys and young infants. When we see those in adult bodies who have no, absolutely no comprehension or care for God or judge, those are marks that come right off of Scripture. Those are evidences of our spiritual need. The pulpit should be proclaiming it from the pulpit so that our people can wake up. So, yeah, God's told us in many, many ways, but unless we're taught that God is speaking, the question is, how do we respond to it?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll never return to God, having once forgotten God.
And, friends, we're less than half a minute away, so we apologize to others on hold. We just don't have time for additional calls here today. Sam Rohr is with us, and we'd encourage you to check out that that video, letterfromgod.org. And, Sam, one of the very compelling, well, the very ending of this, when you hear that, I am God and God alone, we must come back to that realization.
Amen.
Sam Rohr with us from American Pastors Network. And, Sam, thank you for carving out the time and just for your burden and the passion that you share. And we trust that that passion will be ignited in the hearts of many.
Thank you, Jim. God bless you for you and VCY America.
Again, folks, the website, AmericanPastors.net, letterfromgod.org. God bless you, folks, and thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.